We're turning to read in the Old Testament in 1 Chronicles in the chapter 29. 1 Chronicles, the chapter 29. While you're turning to the place, could I just say how nice the building is? This is my first time in the church since it was renovated, and it is very attractive. It is lovely looking, and certainly you're to be commended on that. And it's certainly a joy to see the work of the Lord prospering and being blessed and owned of God. But the building is certainly is very beautiful. And even from the car park, when you come in, it is very attractive. And we just want to pass comment on that this morning. And it is certainly a joy to see it and a joy for me to be here in it today. 1 Chronicles, the chapter is 29. We're reading at verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom God alone hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of diver colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Amen. We'll end there. At the first five, we look to the Lord in prayer for help as we come to meditate on his word. Our God and our Father, we bow again before thee. Again, we thank thee, Lord, for the privilege of being found together to sing the songs of Zion. We thank thee for the opportunity of gathering around the word. But, O God, we pray that thou would bless us now in and through the word. Pray, Lord, that as we would consider these things that lie before us, that thou would close us in with thyself so that our attention is given to thee, that our hearts might even now say, Lord, what hast thou to say to me? Pray, Lord, that thou would take from us every distracting thought, and that thou would lead us, Lord, and help us. Help the preacher of the word. Lord, thou knowest the need of the preacher today. And I ask thee that thou would give to me that fresh anointing, that I might know the power of God the Holy Ghost in the place of the preaching of the wondrous word of God. I pray that thou would lead me in it, Lord, and give me, Lord, words from thyself, and give me plainness of speaking, Lord, in expressing the mind of God as we find it in the word. Pray, Lord, that thou would give to me clarity of mind. Take from me, Lord, every distraction, and know that our mind would be upon these matters. Let it be profitable to our souls. Let it bring glory to thy name. Apply it by the Spirit of God, that we might live according to the word of God. Answer prayer, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Now, the subject that we have before us here and the subject that was on David's heart in this chapter is that of the building of the temple at Jerusalem. Although his son Solomon would oversee the work, it lay on David's heart. He had given himself completely to the support of the work that lay ahead of them. In these verses that we read together, we find there in the third verse, it is a work that he loves. He says there, "And moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God." And so here is a work that he is involved in. It's a work that has taken up his attention. It's a work that his heart lies to. It's a work that he really loves, the building of the house for the Lord God in Jerusalem. We can see even how his support is to be seen. He goes the second mile, as it were. In the third verse, we can see the terms that are used there with regard to his support. Even the term at the end of the verse there, when he talks about giving that which is over and above all. That is, over and above all that might be expected of him. We see also how in the second verse he talks about his support, and he talks about supporting it with all my might. That is, with his ability, his strength, his substance, his wealth. David then, in these verses, is speaking about his involvement in the work, his love for the work, his support for the work. But then we find that at the first five, there at the end of the first five, he challenges the people. And he calls on the people that they also might join with him in supporting this work with all of their hearts. At the end of the verse 5 of that chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles, we read there, "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" It's a challenge that David was bringing to the people with regard to the work of the Lord in his day. And people, it is the very same challenge that is brought through the Word of God to our hearts today. When we read that text, it says, "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" The challenge to you and to me is of consecration to the Lord. I want to notice with you, as the Lord would help us here, the substance of consecration. What is it? What does it mean? Well, the word itself, as it is used here, it means to devote. It means to set apart. It means to dedicate. Very simply, it is to be given to the Lord for his service and for his glory. Just let me say this at the very commencement of our thoughts regarding it, that a believer's life is not just a mere nominal identification, not just an aim, a Christian, but the believer's life, it is a life that is set apart unto God. It is a life that is set apart unto God for the glory of God. It is the life of serving God. That is the Christian's life. If we go into the New Testament, we can find there in Romans 12 an exhortation that is very similar at the beginning of the chapter. Let me bring this to you. Romans 12 in the verse 1. The inspired apostle says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, unto God, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's talking here about our service, our reasonable service, but it's saying here, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. The presenting of our bodies, or if you like, the presenting of our lives. Very seldom now, certainly in this country, are people ever asked to give their life in the cause of Christ. It was the case in days gone by. It is presently the case in other lands. But here in our province, it is not the case generally that we are asked to lay down our lives in the cause of Christ. But the Lord is talking here not of dying in his cause. He's talking here about living for him, presenting your bodies. But I'm thinking of that word that is used there, to present. And if we take it as it is in its context and as it is from the Greek, it is really meaning yield. Yield your bodies. Yield your life. It is to dedicate, to set apart ourselves unto the Lord. Now, the word is also translated by a number of English terms. This word present, it is also translated to stand up. And it is translated to stand with. For example, there in 2 Timothy 4 and 17, Paul is talking about how the Lord helped him. And he says there, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The Lord stood with me. And that term there, to stand with, it is the very same Greek word, to present. This is what David is saying. Here's the challenge. Who will stand up for the Lord? Or who will stand with the Lord? Who will be identified with the Lord? Who will yield themselves to the service of the Lord? That's the challenge. That's the challenge of consecration. It is the giving of ourselves. It is being identified with. It is standing up and standing with the Lord in our service for him. Now, if we take the term that is used here for service, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? What is meant by the term service? What do we mean about serving the Lord? What is God wanting us to do? What is David expecting of the people in his day? Well, the word that is used here, the Hebrew word again, it is always useful to consider how it is translated in other parts of the Old Testament. The word is translated also labor and work and hands. So therefore, it is speaking about the labor of our hands. Who is willing to set apart the labor of our hands for the Lord? The word also is translated power and force, and it gives the idea of strength. Who is willing to set apart and to devote our strength unto the Lord? The word is also translated state. It is also speaking here of the position, if you like, the state of kings over in Esther. And in the chapter 2, in the verse 18, we find us talking there about the gifts of the kings according to the state of the kings, the position that they hold. Who is willing to give the positions that they hold, to dedicate those positions unto the Lord? We have all got positions, parents, father, mother, husband, wife, children, employer, employee, whatever. Who is willing to give their positions, to use their positions, whatever influence they have in those positions, to use that for the Lord and for the glory of God? And the word also is translated means or wealth. And again, in 2 Chronicles, in the chapter 1, verse 17, is talking about the means of the kings. We might today hear someone saying, I am going to go on a world cruise, or I'm going to build a house, or whatever it might be. And someone might respond and say, well, He has the means of doing it. In other words, he has the money, he has the wealth, and is speaking here about the wealth. And all of this, people, when we bring these all together, it includes all that we are and all that we have. That's consecration unto the Lord. It is making ourselves and all that we have to be at his disposal. Very interesting, we first, in the light of this, again in 2 Corinthians in the chapter 8 and the first 5, when we're looking at 2 Corinthians, the chapter 8, the first 5 there, we find that we have in the opening verses the gracious giving of believers helping others who find themselves in difficulty. But in the first 5 we read here, but first they gave themselves to the Lord. So yes, they helped others, they give of their means, they give of their support, but first of all, they had given themselves unto the Lord. Consecration means giving everything that I have to the Lord for his use. And it includes and it starts with giving myself first of all. And so that's the challenge that David is bringing to the people. Who is willing to give themselves everything they have, everything they are, just to make themselves to be at the disposal of the Lord God, to set themselves apart unto God for his use and for his service. We have also here in this chapter the nature of consecration. We find that, first of all, it is willing. And the term that is used there, and who then is willing to consecrate? It doesn't say who then will consecrate his service, but the Spirit of God has included there in the words of David the term willing. There's a willingness here that is necessary. Our service is to be voluntary, a ready and a willing and a glad and a happy service, not something that is forced upon us, not something that we're compelled to do. It's something that comes from the heart, a willingness. Over in 2 Chronicles in the chapter 25, we read in the opening verses there of a king by the name of Amaziah. He was the king in Jerusalem for 29 years. And we read in the first 2 this, that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, those words are good words, and they're used of others, of David and of other people, and they're words of commendation from the Lord. He did that which was right in the sight of God. But when we read them here regarding Amaziah, they're really words of rebuke or of condemnation, because it adds there that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. If you like, not with a whole heart. He wasn't wholehearted in giving himself to the Lord. He wasn't doing it sincerely. It was something that was his duty. It was something that was forced upon him. People, God does not want that kind of service. It must be a willing service, something that we're glad to do, something we do it out of a heart of love. There needs to be a willingness in our service. And then, of course, it is prompt, because he is saying to the people there that it is this day. Not waiting for a more convenient season, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, not saying, well, I have got things planned and I've got ambitions and it's going to take me a year getting that cleared up, and I intend to, after I get these things sorted out, I intend to give myself wholeheartedly to the work of God, but I can't do it just now. People, the Lord wants all that we are now. He wants ourselves to be laid before him, to serve him in whatever way he would want us to serve him. He wants that now. And then, of course, it is personal, it's individual, it is in the singular. It says, who then is willing to consecrate his service? Not their service. Of course, their service would be fine, including everyone. But the Lord is making it personal here. It is the individual. It is that which is in the singular. My friend, it is not waiting on others to give themselves to the Lord. Not doing it because others are doing it. But it is because that I personally believe that this is what God would have me to do, even if no one else is willing, no one else is ready today to consecrate themselves to the service of the Lord, I will do it. And this is the nature of our service that the Lord requires. This is the nature of consecration. It is by the Spirit of God working in us, we are brought to that place where we will gladly say, Lord, all that I am now and all that I have, you can have in the service that is thine. But then we have the motive for willing service to the Lord. And that motive is a proper view of God, of who God is, what God is, a proper view of God's mercy, a proper view of God's goodness to us. Look at the verses here that we have in this chapter, and we can see that these people had an understanding of who and what God is. It is on that basis that they give their service to the Lord. Look at the first 11 and 12, and here we see they have an understanding of the greatness of God. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and all in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. They see God as high and lifted up. They see him exalted in his greatness. They see there the Lord in his infinite attributes. It says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty. Oh, today, how often it is the case that even many professing Christians have low views of God. And they don't see the Lord as high and lifted up, but because of the influence of the world, and the influence of apostasy and liberalism and modernism, the Lord has been dethroned and brought down to the level of man in the eyes of many. Even the terms that are used of God, even the terms that are used in speaking of God, would indicate he's a mere man in the minds of many. People, we need to see God as he is, high and lifted up. This is our God. He is not an ordinary person. He is infinite in all of his ways and in all that he is. And then look at the first 14, how David and the people see themselves. He says, but who am I and what is my people? Who am I? And there we can see David feeling the nothingness of himself. And as he's lifted his eyes and seen the greatness of God, he looks at himself and he sees the awful contrast of his own unworthiness. And he says, Lord, who am I? And there is no doubt the sense of the privilege that he feels, in the sense that he who is nothing is able by the grace and the mercy of God and is called upon by the infinite God to serve this God. People, this is our privilege. We who by nature are sinners, vile and filthy, rebels against God, who deserve nothing but eternal damnation and hell, God in his mercy has so worked with us and cleansed us from sin by the precious blood of his own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and reconciled us to himself by means of the blood that was shed on Calvary. This God, the eternal God, has lifted us up to the place where in Christ we are acceptable to him and would have us to serve him. People, what a privilege this is for you and for me in Christ. All that we have is from the Lord, is given to us by the Lord. Look at the verses very quickly. In the verse 15, it reads, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers, our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. And there they can see that even the life that they have, the length of their days, is in the hand of the Lord. Verse 12, there at the end of the verse, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. The strength that we have, the length of our days, it is all given to us by the Lord, our few possessions that we might have. In the verse 16, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. O Lord our God, all this cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. We might think that we possess so many things. Anything that we have that is worth having is from the hand of a gracious God. Everything that we have is from the hand of the Lord. People, we have nothing that we can boast of. It is all of the Lord. Even our willingness to give unto the Lord is of the Lord. Again, look at the verse 14. For we read there, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer willingly after this sort? Not that we should be able to offer after this sort, but that we should be able to do it willingly. People, the willingness to offer unto God, that is of God himself. That's of the grace of God. God makes his people willing in the day of his power, and he makes his people willing to give themselves in consecration unto him. Everything today, people, is of the Lord. And here we have these people, and they respond to the challenge of David, to the challenge of the Lord, and they give themselves unto the Lord. They consecrate themselves. They set themselves apart from the things of the world and give themselves to the Lord. Why? Because their eyes sees the greatness of God and the privilege that is theirs in serving the great God, and their eyes sees the fact that God has given to them all things. What God has given to them. That's the motive for serving the Lord. We mentioned there earlier on Romans 12 in the first one, where we're exhorted there to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, unto God, which is our reasonable service. That's the exhortation, to yield ourselves, to give ourselves to the Lord, to set ourselves apart for God, to set ourselves apart from the world, and not be entangled again with the things of the world. That's the exhortation here. But how are we to do it? Why should we do it? What is the motive for doing that? Look again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God. And that preposition there, by, it is elsewhere translated because of. Because of. Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Why? Because of the mercies of God to us. And the term mercies there, as you can see, of course, is in the plural. That's why we give ourselves to the Lord. That's why we're wholehearted in the cause of Christ. That's why we stand for the Lord and stand up for the Lord. And that's why we identify ourselves and we stand with the Lord. And we stand with those who would serve the Lord with all of their heart because of the mercy of God to us. How many mercies we have from the Lord. His saving mercies, the work of redemption, his substitutionary work, the fact that the eternal, sinless, lovely, loving Son of God, that he went to Calvary for us. He paid the price for our redemption. He shed his precious blood so that our sins could be dealt with. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Dear men and women, unsaved today in this house, let me say this to you, that there's no way of redemption, there's no other way into heaven saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. You need, my friend, to come as a sinner, and you are a sinner. Coming as a sinner by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and throwing yourself on the mercy of God, calling on the Lord to save you so that your sins can be cleansed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else will save you. No other means of salvation. Only one Savior, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, isn't it the mercy of God that you and me, that we weren't just left in our sin to bear what our sin deserved, eternal damnation in hell. But oh, so fast and infinite is the love and the mercy and the grace of God, that God provided a way of salvation, a way of deliverance from the penalty of our sin. He gave his own dear, sinless, lovely, begotten, beloved Son. One who is the darling of his bosom. The one who is daily the Father's delight, we're told in the Word. He gave him up, and he gave him up to take our place and to bear our punishment, the wrath of God, in our place, so that we could go free. People, that's the mercy of God. The mercy, my friend, not only of his saving us, but his preserving mercies, his keeping us, his presence with us, his providing for us, meeting our every need. This is the motive for giving ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice. We have good reason today. Every redeemed man, woman, young person has good reason to give themselves wholeheartedly to the Lord and to stand for Christ and to stand in the things of God and to stand with others who love the Lord. Good reason, my friend, to serve the living God, the high and exalted one. Why? Because of his mercies to us. Isn't it a mercy of God that he hasn't dealt with us as we deserved? Oh, foolish creatures that we are, rebellious by the old nature. Isn't it a mercy of God that he hasn't dealt with us in the way that we deserve, but according to his grace and his goodness and his kindness? Isn't it the mercy of God that he keeps us? Left to ourselves, it would be a disaster. But oh, for the persevering work of God, the Holy Spirit, within the heart of the child of God, and that he keeps us. Isn't it the mercy of God, my friend, to have his presence with us? Every morning when we waken and open our eyes, and just to know the Lord is with us. And throughout the day, no matter what the day might bring, and sometimes bring in difficulties and problems and worries and anxieties, just to know, well, the Lord is with us. And to know that he provides for us. Maybe times make it difficult. It may well be that because of circumstances we haven't got all of the things that we would like, perhaps even because of employment or lack of employment or whatever. Just to know that my God has promised that he will provide for me. That my God has said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added on to you. All these things. All the things that we have need of. All of the things, the practical, material things of life. God has said, I'll meet your need. I'll provide those for you. The child of God knows the mercies of God. And people, here we have then the motive that we have for willing consecration unto the Lord. But then we have also got, in closing, the result of consecration to the Lord. Look at the first 9. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. There is a joy to be had when we give ourselves to the Lord. Rejoicing with great joy. Why? Because they knew themselves to be in the will of God. They had pleased the Lord. The building work would be advanced and it would prosper by their consecration. And that gave them a real sense of joy, a sense of fulfillment. My friend, there is reward in the giving of ourselves to the Lord. We never lose out by giving ourselves to the Lord. We have great joy. Reading some time back about Florence Nightingale, and when she was coming to the close of her days, drawing near to death, after living a blessed and a very useful life, she was asked for the secret of such a life and for the secret of the contentment and the satisfaction and the joy that she had in her life. And her answer was this. She said, "There is only one explanation. I have kept nothing back from God." That's consecration. That's the joy of consecration. It's an interesting thought as we look at this word and this verb to consecrate as it is used in our text here, because it has within it the meaning of satisfaction. The Hebrew word is a compound word. It has two words in it, making up the term to consecrate in the Hebrew. And the first part is elsewhere translated in the Old Testament by a number of English words. First part of the term to consecrate. It is translated fulfilled, replenished, satisfied, to be full, accomplished. Those who give themselves to the Lord are never the losers, because the term here means satisfaction. It means fulfillment. It means to be accomplished. It means to be replenished. Dear men and women and young people, do you want a life of satisfaction? You'll not find it in the world. And you won't find it in the apostasy. You'll find it when you give yourself to the Lord completely, to stand with the Lord in all of the things that He would have you to do, that He has declared here you ought to do in His Word. Do you want fulfillment in life? Do you want to be accomplished? I hear people talking about this one and that one, and they say, well, they're accomplished. I don't really know what it means. It must mean that they have really fulfilled their ambition. Do you want to be accomplished? Do you want to be fulfilled? Do you want to be satisfied, my friend? Do you want to be replenished? Then it's found when we give ourselves to the Lord. Give yourself to the Lord, young people. Turn away from the world and everything the world would tempt you with and offer you with. And just say, Lord Jesus, I am thine. And I am thine alone. And I will not be entangled again by the things of the world, by the temptations of the devil. And those who are unsaved, let me say to you again today, you'll never find satisfaction in this world in your sin or by doing the dictates of the world. There's satisfaction only to be found in the Lord. I'm glad that as a young man, 18 years of age, I came to Christ and received Christ in saving faith. I'm glad, people. And I look back over my life, and oh, I wish I had given the Lord more. I wish I could have given Him more. I look back over my life, and I tell you this, my friend, there is no disappointment in Christ. And you will never, ever regret giving yourself to the Lord. And as I look over my life, I can say this: the Lord has satisfied me completely. There's fulfillment to be found in Him. He'll fill you to the full. He'll give you a life that is worth living if you live your life for Him. I trust that the Lord, in His mercy, will apply His word to our hearts today, that it might be profitable to our souls, might bring glory to the name of the Lord, and be the means of helping us to live for the Lord. We're going to close in prayer. We'll not sing another hymn. We'll just close in prayer. Our God and our Father, we bow again before Thee. We thank Thee, Lord, for all that we have in Christ. Thank Thee for Thy mercies to us, Lord. And we pray that in Thy mercy and by Thy grace that Thou would have us to live for Thee. That we might know the fullest sense of contentment and satisfaction as we give ourselves wholly to Thee and to the work of the Lord, that the joy of the Lord will be in our hearts as we see the work of God going on and know that we're in the will of God. Lord, answer prayer to this end. Remember those that are unsaved. Oh, that they might know the working of the Spirit of God, that they might see the awful lack that is in their life, that there's something missing, and that they might see that only Christ can bless them with satisfaction, that only Christ can bless them, that they might find that sense of fulfillment in the Lord as they come as sinners to Jesus and claim Him to be their Savior and throw themselves upon the Lord for mercy, put their trust in Him, and be washed in the precious blood of Christ. Save the unsaved. Restore the backslider. Bless Thy people. We pray that as we leave this Thine house, that we will go with and in the blessing of the Triune God. Answer prayer. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.